B-Pod Studios.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG. It's Felger and Maz, 95 The Sports Hub.
And up the near side, now off of Schwartz. Char is going to knock it down. Schwartz kept it in. Then at the line, Marchand is there. Sundquist crashes for it. Boston shoots to the empty net from their own end. And a big Z, Zdeno Chara puts it in. 5-1 Boston.
Well, that'll do it here. It would have been an epic night. Could have been a party. And, you know, Curbs, you said it best in the pregame. Boston's here to spoil the party. And they spoiled it here tonight. The Boston Bruins were not going to go quietly into the night in this series. This was going to be the hardest game for the Blues to win. And this is probably the best I've seen the Boston Bruins look all series.
So that's Blues Radio. Maz, in fact, could not have said that better himself, which sets up his Rodenheiser take.
Yep. Hot takes brought to you by Rodenheiser Plumbing, Heating, AC, and Electric. You can go to Rodenheiser.com to learn more about AC. So, Chara.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG. It's Felger and Maz, 95 The Sports Hub.
And up the near side, now off of Schwartz. Char is going to knock it down. Schwartz kept it in. Then at the line, Marchand is there. Sundquist crashes for it. Boston shoots to the empty net from their own end. And a big Z, Zdeno Chara puts it in. 5-1 Boston.
Well, that'll do it here. It would have been an epic night. Could have been a party. And, you know, Curbs, you said it best in the pregame. Boston's here to spoil the party. And they spoiled it here tonight. The Boston Bruins were not going to go quietly into the night in this series. This was going to be the hardest game for the Blues to win. And this is probably the best I've seen the Boston Bruins look all series.
So that's Blues Radio. Maz, in fact, could not have said that better himself, which sets up his Rodenheiser take.
Yep. Hot takes brought to you by Rodenheiser Plumbing, Heating, AC, and Electric. You can go to Rodenheiser.com to learn more about AC. So, Chara, last night, you mentioned this at the end of last week, like going into Game 5. The whole broken jaw, got to be a heroic moment, and the Bruins go out and lose the game. The story's still in play.
You bet.
The story, I thought Chara was good last. In fact, I thought it was Chara's best game of the series last night. Like, I thought he looks steady, engaged, reliable. Now, the clearing the puck out thing, I think the Bruins are just going to accept that as this team forechecks the crap out of us and we're going to have trouble getting the puck out.
Chara scares me every time he has the puck in his own zone.
So you know what, Mike? Don't, none of them can get it out.
I like him away from the puck. I'm comfortable there when he has it and they're exiting their zone. Ugh. But
I mean,
anyway.
No, so I just think that it felt to me last night like they came to the realization that we're going to have trouble getting the puck out against these guys. It's been a problem for us all year, and these guys forecheck the crap out of everybody. So we're going to have problems. So you know what? Everybody's got to be under the circles, tops of the circles. Every single guy. We need all five defenders down there to fight and get the puck out every single time. And you know what? If the Blues are winning the battles and keeping the puck in along the boards, so what?
Take away the middle of the ice.
Right. Just don't let him score. That's all. That's what it felt like to me last night, and I thought Chara was a big part of it.
Okay. To your phones, as promised, on everything. Mike in Nashville. Go ahead, Mike. Michael? He says, Bruins will win game 7. Sorry, Mike. Got to be ready to go. Call us back. 617-779-0985. Are you confident now, Murray? You're usually good for a complete reversal previous night?
You usually love to rag on me for my flip-flopping. No, I don't think it's a foregone conclusion just because the Bruins played their best game in game 6. This whole series has been completely unpredictable. Jordan Binnington, as you pointed out, after he's had terrible games, and not just in this series, and others as well leading up to this, he's actually been pretty good afterwards. And you've already seen it in this series. He gets pulled in game 3 at home after giving up, what, 6 or 7 or whatever, a 6. And then he's been great in those couple of games since, and he was last night. So I don't think it's just, you know, oh, well, they figured out Binnington. He's going to suck, and the Bruins are going to win this game 6-1. No, I think it's going to be 2-1. It could go either way. The Blues are for real.
For real. Tough team that matches up well with you. They just do. you don't quite have the speed to really put them on their heels, which is why Carson Coleman stood out last night, because he does. He does. He did press those D wide, and his speed did factor. But you don't have quite enough of those guys to really exploit the Sharks. Excuse me, the Blues. You don't have the Sharks did, you thought might have. So they're a good matchup against you. And as much as I want to mock them, though, for their caveman coach and their caveman approach and their, you know, archaic power play and the goalie who doesn't look right when he's playing, and then all this nonsense with him skating across the ice and bumping Bruin players.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen anything like this?
No.
Like, so this kid, this rookie, is skating across the ice to, like, challenge guys during TV timeouts and stuff. It's just weird. And letting in bouncers from the blue line. Like, I want to say this guy sucks, but every time you think he's done, he comes back and holds you to one goal and steps up. So, like, I'm not overlooking that Blues team one way, you know, I can't anymore.
I mean, how could you, right? Like, how could you? So, Bruins won game three there, right? I'm getting mixed up now. So, in game four, I don't think Binnington was anything special. I thought the Blues just choked the life out of the Bruins. So, I don't even give Binnington that one. Game five, he was tremendous. But he's really only played what I would call one, you know, above average, good, you know, to borderline great game in the series. The rest of the time, I don't see it.
Okay, here's Barry with an interesting point that I noted as well, and I wonder what it's about. Barry, what's your point?
Yeah, I thought I noticed the subtle change the Bruins made last night, and that was not having Rask handle the puck. Because in earlier games, you know, the Blues knew if he handled it, it's going to be behind the net. He's going to take a second to handle it. Last night, about halfway through the first period, I thought, he's not handling the puck, and thought I was imagining it, but then you could see him staying between the pipes as they cleared it in.
No, it's so. Totally. Barry, Monty and I turned to each other during the game and said the same thing. My question is whether that was by some design, or Rask got tired, or Rask was preserving himself, or maybe it's this whole thing, Maz, that their whole approach was, we're losing the pucks along the wall anyway. So give him the wall. And if it's at all close, Rask, just stay between the pipes.
And make the save.
And we're going to protect the house. And if they want to dink around on the walls, we're losing those battles anyway, so we're not going to extend ourselves reaching at the walls, even behind the net on some of those. But it was clear Rask was not going behind the net to play the puck like he normally does.
I mean, I got to believe it's all part of the plan. Like, because last night, to me, it was painfully obvious. The forwards were way deep in the zone. I mean, they were getting way down there. Way down. And so I think they almost, you want to keep the puck on the boards and keep it in the zone, have a blast. We're not going to chase you anymore. When we have the chance to get it out, we'll fight for it and try to get it out. But otherwise, we're not going to start running around like jackasses and let Ryan O'Reilly get it in front of the net.
Okay, Scott, you're down to 25 seconds. Go.
Here we go. Boom. Bruins talk, but 8 seconds on Ortiz. It reminds me of John Leonard. I hope they caught that coward who shot him in the back. Did they catch him?
Yeah, they caught one of the two, I think. I'm not sure about the second.
Shoot someone in the back. I'm disgusted. All right, Bruins. The Bruins are going to smoke them in Game 7, and here's why, Felger. Have you noticed every St. Louis win in this series has been by their fingertips? They needed a bad call from the ref, but the Bruins have beat them 7-2 and 5-1. The Bruins are going to smoke them tomorrow night. In closing, Charlie Coyle, not my buddy, but Weymouth kid, he's going to get the Stanley Cup game-winning goal tomorrow night.
Okay, Scott, there you go. That's enough for the predictions. So does it matter that they win 3-2, but you win 5-2?
No. And that final score last night is not indicative of how that game actually played out.
What does it matter? That was a 1-0 game. That was a 1-0-2-1 kind of game. You scored on a howler, a ridiculous bouncer from the blue line, and then when it was... And then 4-1-5-1 was superfluous.
Yeah, I think it was after the Pastrnak goal that the Blues quit. They stopped.
Yeah, so that was 4-1 though.
Yeah.
So
it, no, that was later, right? But at that point, they said that's it. We're done.
The 2-0, the Carlo goal changed it. Okay, because you started getting chances. Was it Corrali came down on a 2-on-1?
Yes.
That the Pastrnak goal was a beautiful, beautiful forecheck by Corrali and passing play. But you, how many chances like that have you gotten this entire series?
No, not many.
St. Louis packed it in after it was 2-0.
Yeah.
So that was a 2-1, 1-0 kind of game. Don't kid yourself.
No. That was a tight game. And again, I think the Bruins, this is how they're going to have to do it. Like, the idea that you're going to get 5 or 7, forget it. It's not happening. You're going to have to win 2-1 or 1-0. Like, anything beyond that, who knows?
Martin on Cape Cod. Go ahead, Martin.
Mike, if the Bruins win the Cup Wednesday night, as fantastic as that would be to grab three trophies in a row in the city, shortly after the parade, I feel like the narrative would shift, because the story for the grandkids years from now will always be, it should have been all four in a row. And the Celts had the talent to get their title too, but due to the snotty attitude of that little puke Kyrie Irving, they dysfunctioned and wasted that talent, and worse, wasted the opportunity of vulnerability of the defending champs of Golden State without Durant. My take is, Mike, if the Bruins win and the Raptors win, the level of resentment and disdain towards Kyrie Irving in the city goes through the roof.
Okay, babe, let's wait to see what happens Wednesday night. But totally. I mean, the door was ajar, man.
Oh, boy, was it ever again. I mean, you know, the NBA Finals could be over before the NHL Finals. How about that?
But if the Bruins lose on Wednesday, which is entirely possible, then, you know, maybe the Celtics are off the hook just a little bit. Anthony Medford, go, Anthony.
Yeah, Mike, I didn't say it was from Tampa. That was one of your interns, so I don't know why you hung up on me last week.
Okay, babe, sorry about that. Go ahead.
All right. But the Bruins, that was but Cassidy inserting Carson on the, into the game was awesome, because like you and Amonte said, he not only that was that laser shot, but he was forechecking, the speed came in effect. And I thought he woke up Krejci and DeBrusk, because they played one of the best games. And the first line showed up. Mike, in the next game, I would make two changes. I would play Bacchus. You don't. You keep Carson.
Who do you take
in,
out?
You put Bacchus in for what's his name?
Heinen
stinks.
Okay.
And then you got to put Greslick in. I don't know if he can, but Connor Clifton. I would put Greslick in.
Okay, so I would do neither. Sorry, Anthony. Thanks for the call. Heinen, you know me, I don't see the value. I don't see in Heinen what they see in Heinen or others see in Heinen. I hated his breakaway last night. That was a little casual. You got to finish that. You got to go a little bit harder. He started gliding from like the hash marks and allowed Petrangelo to catch up to him, and he never even got the shot off. That frustrated me with Heinen last night. So I noticed that.
He got the least time, I think, of any Bruins forward, though.
I believe that's right.
10 minutes.
I think it was, might have been less. I don't have it in front of me.
10:18. I get it right here.
Okay, so there you go. So, look, I'm no fan of Heinen, but I don't know. I'm putting in Bacchus, who can't catch
up. No way. I'm done there. Again, I don't change the lineup.
Speed is what you need.
Don't change the lineup. Chara looks like he's overcome the broken jaw thing. He was good last night. Played 22 minutes. And, you know, Moore has been steady. Whatever it is, it's working. The back end, to me, I don't mess with it.
Okay.
Go with the lineup you had last night.
And did we notice Krejci and DeBrusk more? Yep.
No question.
Yep, no question. Okay. He said the first line all woke up. I'll say this. Those 5-on-5 graphics we've been showing, zeros across the board for Marchand, Bergeron, Pastrnak, Krejci, a lot of those are now off the board. They got 5-on-5 points.
Yeah, not Bergeron, though.
Guess who's still out there? Guess who was the Bruins' only minus player last night?
37.
Patrice Bergeron. Patrice Bergeron was a minus one, the only minus player on the roster last night. Patrice Bergeron was underwater on faceoffs, only 8 of 18, 44%. Still with 16-15 of ice time, well below what you would expect for a player of his stature. He's still kind of quiet. We still haven't heard from Patrice Bergeron. Marchand woke up a little bit last night, got a 5-on-5 point. Pastrnak got a 5-on-5 goal. At the end, again, little garbage timey, but we'll give it to him. Krejci got a 5-on-5 assist on that great Kuhlman snipe. So those guys finally got on the board 5-on-5, not Bergeron. And he was losing on the faceoff circle.
Yeah, and think of it this way. Even strength, he was on the ice for 2 seconds more than Heinen.
So,
because a lot of his minutes were penalty kill minutes.
There's one last guy there to wake up. One last guy.
I don't know if he's going to wake up. There's something going on there. I mean, he's too good a player to be like he is. So, again, he wasn't on the ice, as you said, when Pastrnak scored, because Corrali made the play. Corrali was on the ice with those two guys. He turned over the puck, Marchand gave it to Pastrnak, and there's your goal.
You bet.
It wasn't Bergeron. He was the only minus.
There, do you have what did Corrali get for minutes?
He was high. Corrali played 17:02.
Corrali played more than Patrice Bergeron.
Yep.
So, I love Sean Corrali in his role. He's tremendous.
In fact, that fourth line got the most minutes, really. Nordstrom played 18 minutes, but again, he gets some penalty kill time.
On what planet is Sean Corrali getting more ice than Patrice Bergeron?
They were good last night.
No question.
No, you're right. I mean,
I'm just telling you.
He's not right. Something's wrong there.
There's that. He still hasn't woken up. Can he wake up? But what if he does?
Great. How about, you know, give another pregame speech like you did last night, too, because apparently that thing worked.
Ah,
I'll take that.
Let's get to that. Ron and Melrose, go.
Hey guys. First-time caller, long-time listener. Mike, you're killing me. Bergeron, his speech set the precedent last night for that game. Unbelievable. It resonated with the whole team. I mean, DeBrusque even said he wanted to run through a wall. But I wanted to point out, my thoughts and prayers are with David and his family. Murray, you're right. Get him back to Boston.
Okay, I think they're going to get him. And on Bergeron, is it possible, can we have the pregame speech and...
Oh, yeah, no, that'd be nice.
Like, why can't we do both of those things?
Oh, that'd be great.
Oh, no, that's not allowed.
It just because when he was so emotionally spent from the pregame speech that he couldn't play? If there's something wrong, there's something wrong. There probably is. He's too good of a player to be held this quiet for this long. I'm sort of, you may not sense this, or you may not be expecting this from me, but I'm actually saying, look out, because... what if he does? What if he's got one game in him? You know, you've gotten to this point and Bergeron's done pretty much nothing in this series. And what if he has a night? What if, you know, what if he's the last one to turn around and he's the guy that, you know, that's the last guy you're waiting on? And what if he's there? But let's get to that pregame speech. Some great comments by Charlie McAvoy I want to get to right after this.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
I love it.
You were right, Mass.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
Man, just a, like, I'm going through this, and this is my first Stanley Cup, and it's just a lot, you know. I'm just be honest with you. Like, the emotions of all, like, I mean, crap. Like, it's a lot, you know. It's we're backs here against the wall, and, you know, you have so many mixed emotions, you know. You do whatever it takes. This is your dream to win this thing, and when your backs are against the wall and you know they're one away, you know, it hurts a little bit. But I think I got a different perspective when our guys stepped up and just talked, and just, you know, it was an element of honesty to it about being in this position, and knowing that if we just do our jobs, we're a family. We believe in each other, and we all love each other. And, you know, just the thought of it being over tonight was terrifying. Like, you know, I mean, we come all this way, and we come together when it matters. And I think tonight was just a good example of that. And, you know, we're thankful. I mean, we're blessed with a chance to play in Game 7 now, so it's going to be the same thing. I mean, it's a lot. It's a roller coaster, and you just got to ride it.
It's Charlie McAvoy last night. You hear that cut?
Yeah.
That comment? Excuse me? I tried to say that cut, that comment. What a quote.
Refreshingly honest.
Oh, my God. It's a lot. Holy crap. Mixed emotions. Hurts a little bit. It's a roller coaster of emotion, you know, admitting this is my first Stanley Cup. I haven't been through this. So he's sort of acknowledging right there, I'm kind of a mess. He kind of says, I'm kind of a mess over this thing. And he says it's a veteran leadership that stands up before the game and sort of puts it in perspective and sort of funnels all that in the right direction. And then he's asked about who stood up and who said it, and it's Bergeron.
Yeah, Patrice stepped up. Yeah, he stepped up.
Can you share
big time tonight?
What the gist of his message was?
Just like that's, you know, it's within us, the gist of it. But I mean, it was exactly what we needed. It was an element of what the dream is. Growing up, every one of us shares the same dream, and kind of just bringing us all to a point where we can all, you know, be on the same field. We were all a little kid once, and we all wanted this bad. And I think it was just an element of savoring this moment and not letting it end tonight. And it was exactly what we needed. He stepped up, and we all, I mean, like, when he talks, you listen. That's the presence that he has. It was when he needed to say it.
Charlie, how big that was.
Okay, hand me a tissue for crying out loud.
Yeah, really, he does. He sounds like a, you know, like a little kid, right?
Because just real quick, because when I hear that too, we all know, and Bergeron has like this understated business-like calm to his demeanor, and I'm sure he doesn't say much. But don't think for a second that he got up there and was like, rah, rah, rah. Like, I don't think it was anything like that. I just think that he was his usual self, but was honest. I think there was, you know, for McAvoy to use the word, we love each other. I think he probably used, you know, the love that we have in the room. I'm sure it was awesome. And I don't think it was rah, rah or anything like that. The people hear this and like, yeah, I want to run through a wall. I just thought it was probably like everything that they needed to hear from the right guy at the right time.
Isn't this the advantage the Bruins have, one of them? And it's an intangible. It's way down the list, right? It's way behind their goaltending and their power play and whatever. But the just that veteran experience and leadership and the place that a lot of their guys are in, you got to assume this is Chara's last real kick at the can, and he knows it, and they know it. And what he's putting himself through to play in these games, and Bergeron, a Hall of Famer legend, they're standing in front of those kids in the room with another chance to win a cup. And Bergeron's been playing now. I mean, how long has he been in the league?
I mean, 14 years?
15, I think. I mean, he came in at 18.
And he, you know, this is his third, but he can easily say, you may think this happens all the time, but whatever. But just that element, whatever form it takes, win one for Chara. We know what it's like. We've been there, whatever it is. And again, we don't know exactly what it said or how it said or what form it takes. But that element has to be in the Bruins' advantage. It has to be that intangible quotient of those guys having been there.
So I've told you a million times, I think experience is overrated, but in a moment like this, I don't know. I mean, when you're down and like you're facing elimination and the guy that's been there before can say, dude, either way, we survived this thing. Like, the world's not going to end. And you know what?
I get the feeling it's just the opposite.
Well, you know, so I wondered too if he sort of played off of that Marchand comment before the series that we played, which is, you know, I still dread thinking about the 2013.
Yes, I get the sense that it wasn't, you know, the sun will rise tomorrow, win or lose. It was, don't let this opportunity pass you by. That's what it sounded like to me with McAvoy's comments. But whatever form it is, having guys that are, you know,
experience,
just poised, having won and lost it, and nearing the end, I just, God, that has to play in the Bruins' favor. Cassidy had a comment about the whole thing, about Bergeron's comments and the veteran leadership on the team after the game as well.
Bruce, a few of the guys said Patrice had words for them prior to the game. I'm just wondering how much value you think it is having players like him who can set the tone in a big moment like this.
Well, tremendous. I believe those veteran guys come in handy for the game. They'll come in handy on tomorrow and Tuesday for us. We're going to have to live a bit what St. Louis did today, have to deal with, you know, now you're going home. Stanley Cup's in the building. Someone's winning it. You got a lot of new friends all of a sudden, or old ones that are coming out of the woodwork. And I think the message, they've been good at that. Stay in your bubble. Take care of your immediate family, but catch up with your friends on Thursday type of thing. And I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but you really got to be dialed in. I don't know if St. Louis dealt with that or not. I'm just saying there is a danger there. And I think that's where Berge and Z and Krejci, these guys that have been there, are able to get that message out. Once the puck drops, they're valuable, of course, but I think players just have to play then. You know, the debate was, how much does experience matter? St. Louis had what, one guy, Perron? And here they are. So I do believe that once the puck drops, you play and you execute or you don't. You get a save. But those veteran guys can sure help you in the moments where you have a little bit of free time and maybe you think too much and get in your way. And I believe Berge and Z have done a great, and like I said, Krejci and Marsh have done a good job with us for that.
Okay. So to me, it's well beyond ticket requests and like that sort of stuff. To me, it's something, I don't know, something beyond that or deeper than that. What it means for those guys and then what it means for the teammates. But this whole thing about now you're home, now the cup's in your building, and you're expected to win. Let me ask you a question. Would you rather Game 7 be here or St. Louis?
St. Louis.
100%.
I don't want it here.
100%.
Yeah, especially in this series, because I don't think the home ice means jack. In fact, I think it's a negative.
Me too. And not, you know, I'm not... It can be. Let's put it to you like that.
Right, if you get behind, it becomes a negative.
It can be.
Yeah, because the whole air comes out of the building, and all of a sudden it's, uh-oh.
And let me tell you, last night being in the building, St. Louis was ready to blow, fellas. You know, it was unlike the weekend before when we were out there where there were just a lot of Blues fans around. There were throngs. It was, the city was packed. There were 40,000 of them in the street watching this thing on the screen. They were ready to go. That town was ready to go, and that building was ready to go. And after Marchand scored, it little of the air came out of the building. And by the time you got through the second, and I think after that Rask save off his back, the tension level rises and it becomes a negative being at home with the cup in the building. You're expected to win. That did not work for the St. Louis Blues. The Blues are better off being here. I'm sorry.
No. I was just going to say it's the only sport I would say that about. Basketball, I want home. I want the officiating. Baseball, I'll take home. I'll take the last ups and them having to close me out in the ninth. I'll take that every time. But football, obvious. Hockey,
You can really feel that tension.
No, not hockey. Especially in the 1-0, 2-1 game. No. I want that one on the road.
Because it's when it's your team, are these games fun?
No.
Are you having fun?
No.
No, I emotionally detached from that game last night before it even started. I said, because again, in my mind, I thought they got a less than 50-50 chance of winning this game. Like, honestly, I thought it was way lower than that. And you and I talked about this on Friday.
I did not feel good about last night.
I think you said they got a 20% chance of winning. Man, you said that off the air.
You texted me going into the third. How are they going to blow this?
I did. So I said, you know what? I'm going in with the mindset of they're going to blow this, and I'm not going to react to anything that happens in this game until the very end.
The games are extremely.
Oh, they're killer.
Oh, Wednesday's going to take years off of my life.
So something goes wrong in your building. It's like, and it's not.
Last two game sevens, the road team has won, including the Bruins in 11, and it was the Penguins in 09 against Detroit.
Yeah, the road team's won 4 of the last 5 in this series. Just the way this thing is going, I don't know how anybody could feel good about it being here. Like, you know, the fact that the game exists at all is good.
Okay, so just let me tell you this. That's where I like Bergeron, Chara. I like all those guys having been through. They've been in all these spots. They've lost at home in Game 7, not a cup final, obviously. But they've lost at home in Game 7s. They've won on the road in Game 7s. I think in this case, the losses are as important to them as the wins. And so circling all the way back, this is why I like Bergeron, Chara in this spot. That is an advantage to you.
I hope someone recorded it. I hope someone recorded the Bergeron thing and they let it out after Game 7, but I doubt it.
Well, Maz, we won't know about this speech unless they win.
Exactly.
Because it'll be on the DVD.
That's what I mean.
They film everything now over there, so it exists.
I hope they win and it comes out because I would love to hear it.
Okay, folks, the Red Sox are updating people. They're holding a press conference right now at Fenway Park on the condition of David Ortiz. We'll give you those details as soon as they're spat out there by Sam Kennedy and Dave Dombrowski. That's who's sitting at the table. Who else is at the table there? Matt, did you see the guy in the far left?
It's the assistant GM. I forget his name.
Yeah, I didn't see whose face it was. If I see it, I'll let you know. But now I can't see it.
Okay, so they're updating you. Eddie Romero. Okay, we'll give you those details as we know them. Here's Murray's update, and then we're right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I just don't know what to say anymore.
Wrong, sorry.
It's Felger and Maz.
They could use a good ass kicking.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Krejci's got it. Everybody gets back on side. Krejci, right circle, Coleman, wrister, he scores! Carson Coleman ripped it just inside the near post, over the blocker, and a Jordan Binnington, make it 3-0 Bruins.
Bruce, you added Coleman to the lineup tonight. Critique the second line. It seemed like a much more effective group.
One thing Cooley does, he brings some speed and he gets in on the forecheck with his foot speed. David's more physicality guy. Cooley can make some plays as well. And that shot, he's sneaky with his wrister. He scored a couple times that righty across body. I don't want to give away state secrets here, but he does have that shot. Most righties want to go glove side. He's able to find the blocker side. Competitive guy. He won it at college. So, he can't replicate this environment, but I think he understands a bit about not getting ahead of himself, just play. And so he adds a dimension to that line. He was good for us. It's not an easy decision taking him out. We went that way against Toronto, won game 6 and 7, went back to backs against the physical Columbus team. Happened to work out tonight. He was a good add.
Indeed, Carson Coleman, I thought even before the goal, noticeable. just carrying the puck wide. Remember in game one how they carried the puck wide on those D and sort of exposed that they're big and they're excellent D. I love that D core, but they're just not nimble. You know, they're not exceptionally mobile. So if you can get some speed and take them wide, that opens things up. And they really, I don't know, it felt like they'd gone away from that or they don't have the personnel to exploit it. Kuhlman made a difference on that.
Absolutely, he did. That whole line, I mean, again, they had two lines that were giving them something last night, two and a half, really. And so, you know, that was huge. If they get that, they should be okay.
Okay, back to your thoughts. Here's Pearson and Quincy. Go ahead, Pearson.
Yeah, I think Kuhlman's biggest contribution, other than obviously that snipe that I don't care for Walrus from the commercial was it, in that he's making that puck. But I think his biggest contribution is the fact is he woke up DeBrusk with that forecheck. DeBrusk has been down there all series by himself. His backers can't keep up. And there's no pressure. So now Kuhlman, finally, there's two forecheckers, and Krejci can just, you know, do his normal thing and buy time for both of them in the offensive zone. And I don't know if you guys noticed, but I was screaming at my TV for them to shoot about 100 times less. They were taking shots from the snack bar instead of in front of the net making passes like they have been. But I thought that was a big thing, too.
Yes, Pearson, thanks for the call. A lot of bad angle shots. Good. Except for DeBrusk. He did have a chance. Was it the third period? Second period, where he had Bennington down and scrambling, and I think he tried to pass it across and he passed up a shot. But they were much better at shooting the puck in this game than, you know, all the dipsy-doo passing that they, you know, had been doing for much of this series. That's another simple adjustment, too. Get it on this guy.
Absolutely, and take your chances. Play D and throw pucks on net. It's a simple approach, but with this team, I think that's how you have to play it.
Mike in Nashville. Go ahead, Michael.
Okay, listen. We got to be quiet. I'm at work. First of all, you guys are worried about the wrong thing. We got to worry about Poppy. They're bringing him up here for a reason. Let's hope it all works out. Second of all, I took out a second mortgage, sold my car, cashed in my 401k. It's all going down on the Bruins Wednesday. They're going to win. Never been sure.
Okay, babe. Thanks for the call.
I'd hold on to some of your money, Mike, just in case, but nice to know.
I mean, I'll take the Bruins just to do it. Like, I picked the Bruins in six. Why not just try and be kind of right? So stay with the Bruins. But I'm telling you, if I'm a gambler and I'm getting good odds on the Blues, I think there's a lot of value there.
Sure there is.
I think there's a benefit in this series with these kind of teams to being on the road. They're ideally suited to it. Both are in their own ways. I think a 5-on-5, St. Louis is a better team. You know, not by much, but I think they've controlled more of the play than you have 5-on-5. I think on balance, 5-on-5, they prevent you from getting to where you want to go. So far, if it changes in game 7, it changes in game 7. But I think that's what's gone on through the first six games. And I don't think this is a sure bet by any stretch. Would not surprise me one bit if St. Louis came in here and won.
Yeah, I don't know how you could possibly predict where this series is going. The only other thing I'd ask you about the Blues is, do you think they hit as much last night as they did in the past?
No, not quite.
So my question there is, why not?
What do you think?
Think they got a talking to?
Yeah, I do. I do, and I'll tell you why. Because, first of all, it was Nordstrom who got hit.
I was going to say, did Chen get the memo?
Yeah, well, so, but then they called the penalty. And after that, I don't know, I felt like there were a lot of occasions when the Bruins turned their backs when pucks were along the boards and they weren't getting hit like they were earlier in the series. And I'm wondering if the Blues were told, because of the whole thing with Berube and everything else, that, okay, look, here's the deal. You hit guys from behind, we're going to call it. Okay, we're going to call it. So stop. And then Shen committed the penalty and they called it. And then after that, I didn't feel like the Bruins were getting hit from behind.
Okay, so maybe that factored in, and they would have to be concerned about a suspension for potential Game 7. What's the incentive for them to stop hitting guys and especially headhunting in Game 7 when they only have to worry about maybe suspensions
Nothing.
At the beginning
there is
of next
none.
Year? There's none. So that concerns me. That's one of the reasons I don't think that Wednesday night is a given for Boston.
Absolutely. The only thing is if they call penalties, right? If they call penalties and the Blues have to stop. But I can't imagine in Game 7 they're going to call 12 penalties.
Well, speaking of that, Mike in Danvers. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Mike, you know, you've been talking about it today, and you talked a little about it last night, too. You know, this has been a bad postseason for the referees in the NHL. They've not done well. Now, Mike, you saw it. The end of that game last night, that's a butt end to the face, Mike. I mean, that's two cross-checks and a butt end to the face. And I'm hoping that the NHL will stand up to this and suspend him.
Oh, stop
I mean,
it.
Then he, there needs to be a suspension there.
Oh, and stop it. Why?
Mike,
a suspension for what?
It's a butt end with the stick, Mike. There
he didn't butt end
rules
him.
Rules and guidelines.
He sucker punched. Are you talking about
Fortuzzo?
Fortuzzo, he sucker punched
him. Yeah, he didn't butt end him. He cross-checked him twice and then jabbed him in the face. But he didn't butt end him.
So,
it makes it sound worse than it was.
But St. Louis got goony there in the last minute. They gooned it up, like you see all the time, setting tone for the next game. I also took that as a little bit of a sign of weakness for the Blues. Like, really?
They lost their stuff.
Well, but it's not just that. I think this is for the Stanley Cup. You know, setting tone for the next game. That sort of all goes out the window when it's game 7 of the Stanley Cup final and the thing is sitting there in the hallway for the winner of the game. What tone needs to be set? Everything's been set. You know, it's like, now we're scared going into game 7 because you popped me on the chin there with 30 seconds left. Now I'm not going to go as hard for the cup because you popped me? Like, no. That it's over. All that stuff is over, don't you think?
Yo, totally.
How much more can St. Louis intimidate you than they've already intimidated you? They've beaten the bag out of you for 6 games.
Yeah, I took it more as them just losing it. Like, not even related to game 7. They just lost it. There was a lot of buildup, a lot of hype, and they lost their crap at the end of the game.
I just think it's, we're beyond that. But that's how St. Louis is built. There's no question about it. Now, let's just do this real quick. This is Steve Horgan. He's the officer from the Red Sox bullpen with the victory with the arms in the air, right, Steve?
Yes. Okay. How you doing, guys?
Good. He's joining us on the phone, wants to say a few words for David Ortiz. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, I was sicking last night when I was watching the Bruins. Such a big impact in my life. The Red Sox, Red Sox Nation. He is truly Boston strong. Came back here to get better. Let's all pray for him and his family and that things go well.
All right, Steve, thanks for calling in and saying that. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Bye. Okay, take care.
Yeah, thanks. He was the cop in that famous photo with Torrey Hunter, right?
Yeah.
And Torrey Hunter flipped over the bullpen wall.
Yep.
Like the Ortiz story, man, is scary. I mean, what's he, 43?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, man, that's young. 43 years old, you take a bullet in the back. Like, that's terrifying. And, I mean, the video is terrifying.
And for what? You know, right. Whatever. Whether you believe the Daily Mail or something else, what deserves a bullet in the back?
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
nothing.
Really? So, again, we'll keep you updated on the Ortiz thing. The Red Sox just finished their press conference. We'll peel out anything there that is new or developing. And we'll do it in our long commercial-free segment next.
Michael Felger.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke blew.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
We need 60 minutes of our best. We've had pockets of that. I thought game 5, we played pretty well. Obviously, we'd like to have the better start. We did the other night, didn't result in a lead, but it certainly puts you in a good place. So that's our goal tonight, on-time start.
Right of the net, fired, they score! Brad Martian!
It's a lot easier playing with the lead, and they play a different game when they have the lead versus when we have the leads.
High slot, walking in Parayko, tees it up, Rask the save as he took that blast right in the midsection. Rask reached up with the left hand and stared it. High slot, fired by Dunn, Rask the save, rebound Petrangelo. I thought that was in, the puck rebounds over to the near side.
It was Charlie McAvoy who saved the day.
It's a team effort, you may have to make a save and then you try to keep it tight.
Carlo Rister, Binnington, they score!
Here's Petrangelo to the goal. Save is made. O'Reilly shooting, and oh no! Rask was down, but again it's kept out.
We heard a horn, Curbs. This is a goal.
You saw it go over the line?
I did. I saw this go in. This is a goal. Yep, 100%.
Pastrnak shoots, he scores! Char's going to try it. Long range shoots, he scores! And the Boston Bruins have forced a game 7 to decide the Stanley Cup.
We just want to try to focus and do what we've done all year, which is prepare and try to play the same game. We're not going to get caught up in the excitement about it. We're just going to try to prepare and focus the same way that we did tonight.
We have a hockey game to win. That's
all really that matters. The whole hockey world loves a game seven, so it should be a great night in Boston, and may the best team win.
All right, Stuart, let's look back at last night. There's just so many little things that I want to use to write off the Blues, but I know better. I'm smarter than that. The latest is I'm just watching. We have the replay up here on one of the monitors. And again, this is just this last minute where St. Louis goons it up a little bit. Sammy Blais actually tried to fight Connor Clifton. He dropped his glove.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
Like a fight.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just, what are you trying to prove at that point?
No idea.
There's nothing to prove.
Yeah, no, no. You just want to, you know, you want to beat on someone.
It's like,
again, they mirror the attitude of their meathead shaved ape of a coach. This is what he was as a player. Like, don't go my way. I'm beat you up. Angry, mad, grr.
It's like they've already established themselves physically. When St. Louis gets their physical game going, they will take you out. They are bigger and more physical than you. What do they need to drop the gloves and fight with 60 minutes left in a 9-month, 10-month season?
Oh, yeah. No, no, no. If they're not going to beat you on the scoreboard, they're going to beat you to a pulp.
So, like, I want to write them off for that. I want to write them off for their goalie, who, never mind, you know, springs leaks during play, between play, decides to skate over to the other side of the ice and push your players, which I've never seen before. Like, unprovocated.
And not just in this series. He did it against Ben Bishop.
The opposing goalie. He did it to Rask the other night, too, where he physically pushes the other goalie and other players who he's got no... Like, he went after Pasternak the other night. Why? What did Pasternak ever do to him? And Pasternak has sucked this series.
I know, because even the goalie's tough.
But he gets in his face? That's just so weird. So I want to write him off for that. I want to write him off for the fact that they had you. They had it. At home, game six, cup in the building, and they let you off the hook. Does that leave a mark? I want to write him off for that. But I know that's stupid.
No, don't do it.
I know that's dumb.
Don't do it. These games have all been independent things. They're all unto themselves.
The Blues are too good. They're too tough. They're too resilient. They bounce back in too many of these situations for me to write them off. I'm not going to write them off. They're going to give you a hell of a game. It's going to be a 2-1 game either way. I'm going to puke myself.
Might even be a 1-0 game.
That's the way it's trending.
I wouldn't, you know, I think the space in front of the net is going to be very hard to come by.
This was a 3-2 series, meaning first 1-3 goals wins. Now it feels like it's become a 2-1 series. First 1-2 wins.
I mean, the last two games, as soon as that second goal went in, you went, oh.
You better be playing here. You better your mindset. And, Maz, this was your number one takeaway, that the Bruins said, screw it. We're not letting in more than a goal tonight. And that was their approach.
I mean, that's what it felt like to me. Like, they just said, look, you know what? These guys are too good defensively for us to think we're going to go in there and score four goals. It's not going to happen. So, you know what? We're going to tighten up on the other end. The thing that was most striking to me was how far down the Bruins forwards came into their own zone. Like, if you go back and watch some of the replays of it, they are, like, down inside the faceoff circle. The dots, they're way down there. They got five guys down there. And you know what? I love it, because I don't think the Blues are good enough to score, particularly with the Bruins goalie and the personnel they have, from the perimeter. I don't think the Blues can score out there. Hell, the goal they got last night, and look, it took some luck too, but the goal they got last night, it just barely made it. Rask almost got it out of there.
That was almost his best save of the night.
I mean, really, it was. So you know what? I think that they just decided, screw it. We're going to try to brick up the net and take the chance that their goalie screws one up.
Okay, we talked about this last week, and I said it going into game five. You know, again, these are all been 3-2 games, essentially. First 1-3 wins. Well, what if a goalie decides to make it first 1-2 wins? And Binnington did in game five, and then Rask did it last night. And so now here we go. We asked, can Rask close like Tim Thomas did in 2011? Last night was chapter one. Got one more to go.
I mean, that game last night, he was awesome. I mean, really, again, you talk about turning in that kind of performance. You can call it a steal if you want. I mean, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I was ready to call it a theft. When it was 1-0 or 2-1, that would have been a steal. It's hard when it's 5-1. It doesn't have the same feel to it. But if you just take out the score, that's the way the game went.
Yeah, I'm not going to put up a fight on that. I mean, to me, that one qualifies. It's close enough. And given the stakes, like, you can't ignore that either. Down 3-2 to a team that's trying to win its first ever Stanley Cup, that hasn't even been to the finals in 50 years. They got half the state of Missouri jammed into St. Louis for the game, for crying out loud. All of it. And he's not letting pucks by. I mean, it was. I don't know how you look at a game like that and not respect what the guy did.
One more for him. One more for him and one more for the Bruins. Game 7 comes your way Wednesday night. We're still talking about Game 6. You want to weigh in on the Ortiz thing as well? You can. We'll get right to your phones in 90 quick seconds. There are no commercials, just an update. Murray will give you the very latest on David Ortiz, and we're right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.